and he's young in this life, doesn't really know what struggles or trials really are, except for Pop. That's his kryptonite. That's his weakness. Ain't it, Bubba? You like soda pop, don't you? He don't like water. He likes pop. He gets that from Great Grand, I think. But here tonight, some of us know what the struggle is and what the problems of life are. Now, how many of us really am thankful that we can crawl to Him even if we have to, or we can run to Him if we can run, and we can still reach the feet of Jesus? Amen. We've got to begin to realize that we have an audience with Him, an audience with the Father, the one that is, amen, able to answer your prayer. We want to get all excited at a sports event to roar for the person that we're cheering for, the team that we're cheering for. We get loud, we strip our voice, and we give it everything we've got for someone that isn't going to give you anything but maybe some bragging rights. I hollered for them. That's all that you're able to say. You wasn't there and helped them train on training day. You wasn't there for all of that. They're not going to thank you for that. But I'm here to tell you today, tonight, that there is a God in heaven that looked down on this earth and knew that there was going to be a Timothy Byron, that knew there was going to be, amen, that there was going to be a brother Mike Price. He looked down through eternity and seen who we were, and yet stood up, showed up when we had a need in our life. He met us right where we was. Amen. Have you started recording yet, Pastor? Okay, good. Amen. He don't give me the grace that I give him. Amen. I love the Lord tonight. I just want us to grab a hold of who he is. I'm afraid sometimes we lose sight because we get so locked in on what we're going through. And that's what I want to talk to us a little bit here tonight about, some things that we go through, things in life. Now, how many here has ever been to a cemetery? All right. Now, when you walk through the cemetery, have you ever done it by yourself? Have anybody ever walked through a cemetery by themselves? Okay, there's a few of you. I'm surprised. Some of you guys are pretty fraidy cats. It must have been in the day. When you walk through a cemetery, do you walk through there? What's your first thought? What's your first thought? What's the first thought that comes to your mind? Is there any life in a cemetery? You guys are wrong. The grass is green. Something's alive. No, I'm joking with you here just for a minute. But really, go through there and you look at all the headstones and think, man, this place is full of life. No, because we look at that place as a place of what? A final resting place. This is where it all ended. This is where the truck stopped. Ain't going on any farther. We look at it as a end result. It's the end. There's no more. There's nothing past this point. Sometimes I'm afraid that in our spiritual life, we begin to build up a spiritual cemetery. Talk to you here for just a minute. Say, where in the world are you going? Just hang on. We create, we build a spiritual cemetery for things in our life spiritually that go wrong, and that we allow the enemy of our soul to lie to us and tell us that it's dead and it's never coming back. Am I talking to anybody yet here tonight? Now, some of you here are already thinking about some things that the enemy's lied to you about, but you believed him. And you begin to set up a monument. Pastor was talking about that this morning. You're going to be a monument, or you're going to be movement? Are you going to be something that is alive? And what we begin to do is we begin to set up all these different places. Well, I lost out with the Holy Ghost here, and we write the time and the sin that caused us to fall. But we've set up a place. But we never go back and try to get back and get right with God. Well, I fail here. And so we build up and put a headstone there and say, well, this is where I fell short. We begin to set up all of these remembrance. That's what we go to a cemetery on Memorial Day to go in remembrance of those that we have lost. But I'm afraid as Christians, we have begun to build up a spiritual, amen, listen to me, a spiritual graveyard that we begin to set up all of these different in remembrance of when I used to be this way and when I used to be able to feel God like this and how I used to move in the Spirit of God and how I felt the Holy Ghost and how I prayed for that one person and they were healed. But we haven't done it in such a long time. We just begin to build and erect all of these things in our lives, and we begin to set up graveyard. You say, you've not even read a scripture. How can you be preaching? I'm going somewhere. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Just take about 2 seconds here. Throw your hands up. Just let Him know that you love Him. Wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles tonight, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. Amen. When you have it, let me hear a big old hallelujah. Man, I just untied my shoe. Just tied them a little shorter. Amen. Jamie was warning me about that earlier. Ezekiel 37 and verse number 1, and it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. All right, let's stop right there. Look at your neighbor. Are you looking at them? Do they look okay? Do they smell all right? They smell like they got a shower? Look at them and tell them, the hand of the Lord was upon me. All right. Where's he at now? We got to be careful. Amen. And carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. We like to use that as a cop out. God asks us to do something and say, Lord, you know, something only you can do. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now look at your neighbor and say, hear the word of the Lord. Hey, you guys are sounding good tonight. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. There was a noise. Now, whenever we hear a noise, what's our first reaction? To look to where the noise is coming from. I see you all the time in church. Somebody behind you drops something, and you whip your head around like somebody just pulled out your wallet. There was a noise that began to happen here. And it says, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. And they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, verse number 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put, grab a hold of this tonight, my spirit in you, that ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that the Lord has spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Grab a hold of that you might be standing in the midst of a graveyard. Imagine seeing that great valley filled with bones. Amen. You can be seated here tonight. Amen. That's where the prophet was at. I'm going to have to tie my shoe real quick. But now I won't. The prophet Ezekiel, he was there. And he was in a place that was filled with bones. Now, if we were to go to a graveyard and I said, where do you see yourself? What's going on here? You would say it's hopeless. We were to walk into that place and you said, I said, hey, Brother Jason, I want you to prophesy to these bones. Look at me like, he crazy. The prophet was being exposed to something that looked hopeless. Let me tell you something, that God, amen, looks at a hopeless situation and he says there is hope. I'm here to tell you tonight that the enemy of your soul may have helped you, amen, begin to build a spiritual cemetery in your life. And you might look at that and realize that it might be hopeless. But I came here tonight to preach to you just for a few moments that there is hope in the midst of the graveyard, that there is hope, amen, where man says there's not any hope. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that the Spirit of God is something that brings forth life. He doesn't come into this world to cause death, but he came that he might bring life, and not just simply life, but abundant life. We got to begin to realize and acknowledge that there is hope. Hallelujah. I came here tonight to visit you in your graveyard. I came here to let you know that there is hope in the middle of your depression. Let me just talk to some things that are in our life that we begin to allow to be placed in our spiritual, the graveyard that no one else can see. Not everybody in here knows all the struggles that I've been through. Not everybody in here knows all the things I've lost. I do. This right here is my spiritual graveyard. When you lay down at night, you begin to struggle with trials. Where's the first place that you get drugged by? Drugged by that cemetery in your mind. Says, well, let me grab somebody here. Titus, come here, buddy. Hurry, hurry, hurry. He falls. He's sitting there in the bed. All of a sudden, the enemy comes up, grabs hold of him. He says, let's go for a walk. There, Mr. Titus. Go down memory lane. Now remember, several years ago, it was these same altars over at that little bitty church before they were stained that you found yourself a place and you prayed 1 through the very first night. Do you remember that? Yeah. But you remember that time you said something bad back to your mom and dad? See, that cancels that out. The enemy comes and takes things that God has done for us and points out our failures and tells us that it cancels out what God's done. And what happens is we say, oh, you're right. What we have just done is we have just inscribed the ending date on something God has tried to accomplish in our life. Well, then, Titus still doesn't give in to the enemy the way the enemy wants him to. So he takes him over here. He says, hey, you remember here in this new building, right over here at this spot, where you were jumping up and down and praising the Lord that one time? Remember listening to that one story or talking about that one individual? See, that canceled that out. All of a sudden, we've assigned another end date. Now he's kind of getting where he can be manipulated a little bit more. Because the mind begins to work against the Spirit of God if we're not careful. Because all of a sudden, he's captivated us in our mind. We've not left anywhere. Thank you, buddy. We've not left anywhere, but we're there. And he leads us by the things in our life that were successes. And we allow him to bring up something and we inscribe the day it expired. And we visit that graveyard when no one else is around. We allow the enemy of our soul to take us by the hand and say, look where you failed. Look where you fell short. Before you know it, we become so focused on the things in the graveyard. We accept them by being permanently dead. I'm fixing to preach here in just a minute. We accept them as never coming back. We say, well, I'm never going to be able to pray plumb through like I felt it for the first time. I'm not going to be able to be filled with the Holy Ghost the way I once was. I'm not going to be able to hear the voice of the Lord when someone's speaking in tongues and then in turn give the interpretation. We all of a sudden begin to find all of these points in the graveyard that we have accepted. Let me just tell you something. The only thing that belongs in the graveyard is the old dead man. Amen. There is nothing spiritual that should be there. Amen. Because we are called, amen, to be alive in Christ. We are called, amen, to have that hope. There is hope in the midst of the graveyard. You got to have hope here tonight in the middle of your depression. Hope in the middle of your discouragement. Hope in the middle of despondency. Hope in the middle of destruction. Hope in the middle of your marriage falling apart. Hope in the middle of your health failing you. Hope in the middle of the drought in your spiritual life. Hope in the middle of questioning whether or not you can be saved again. I'm here to tell you tonight, you might be stuck in the graveyard. It might look like it's the end. But I came to encourage you tonight that the Spirit of God, amen, has just stepped into the midst of your graveyard. And He is going to try and begin to call life. If you will just listen, that there is hope. I came to tell you there's hope in the middle of the graveyard. If you'll begin to let Him begin to speak life into you again. We do one thing wrong instead of trying to make it right. We go run into the cemetery. Because cemetery is a lonely place. Growing up, we're out hunting in the middle of probably 1,200 or 1,500 acres. And we just moseying along. And all of a sudden, we found an old house foundation. I don't know how old it was. It was all disintegrated, just some old stones, all this stuff. There was a little well over underneath the tree. And beside that tree, the big hedge apple tree, right underneath the one side, was a couple little headstones. Couldn't hardly read what was inscribed on it. You could just see it was the birth date and the day that it passed. And there was another one right beside it that had the birth and then the date that it passed. Out in the middle of nowhere, the cemetery is lonely. That's why we go there. Because we go back to revisit what we used to have. Let me tell you something, church. There's things that you have allowed the enemy of your soul to tell you that this is the end. And that you can't get it back. Let me tell you something. You can never go too far. You can never hide. Amen. You can never run too deep into sin that the love of God cannot reach you. But so many times we go by and we visit and say, I can't get in because of this. I can't worship God because I said this. I cannot do this because of that. Because I have discouragement. I have a disagreement. I'm dissatisfied. And this last thing I said just a minute ago, it says, I wrote this down, that there is hope in the middle of you questioning whether or not you can be saved again. Believe it or not, that is real. These are real issues. And you could look at me and say, oh, I've never thought that. I question if you've ever been saved the first time. Because if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, every day, it's got to be renewed. You've got to accept that precious blood that was shed for you and say, Lord, I know that you died on Calvary to save my soul. Otherwise, we forget it. And we come up and we put a date on it. I'm here to tell you, the enemy of your soul wants you to think that there is no hope. He wants you to write it off and say it's always going to be this way and that it has been sealed and that this is... The pastor didn't know that this was in my notes tonight when he said it. I about came out of the sound booth. That this is the new normal. That's what the enemy of your soul wants you to accept. That this is, this spiritual cemetery of your gifts. Now listen to me. The gifts of God are free. But when we freely reject them, boom, we put up a headstone. I can't ever get that one. I know this isn't a shouting message yet, but we'll try and get there. I'm telling you, I'm trying to encourage you that there is hope. If you'll just begin to realize that there is, amen, there is something, amen, that can come from it. The enemy of your soul wants you to write it off. He wants you to accept this as the new normal. He wants it to be sealed. And that there is, he wants you to know that there is no way back or that it could ever come back to life. I'm here to tell you that Pharaoh thought that he had the children of Israel cornered in Exodus. He thought that he had them. That their fate was sealed. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen. Pharaoh looked out there and said, man, I'm about to create the biggest graveyard in Egypt's history. I got a whole bunch of folks that ain't done nothing but mix bricks. That's it. They ain't no weapon artists. They can't whip out a sword and fight. He said, I've got them right where I want them, between me and the Red Sea. And as he began to try and press down on top of them, God made a way. Now look at the children of Israel. What were they doing? They were grumbling. What'd you do? Come, bring us out here to die? that's our first thought sometimes when God's trying to help us to grow and nurture us. We all of a sudden, well, here's our graveyard right here. This is it. This is the end. I'll never see anybody in my family get saved. I'll never be able to experience God's greatness because all He did was bring me out here to die. Sad to say, some of us have spiritually accepted that. You say, oh, no, I haven't. Well, then that's you. Be careful what we deny, because we begin to step right into it. We find that He thought He had them cornered. We find in Exodus that He states this, the enemy said, I will pursue and I will overtake. I will divide the spoils. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. That's what he thought he was going to do. But in that moment, amen, the Spirit of God began to blow the life. Amen, it began to move the Red Sea. Amen, from one side to the other. And all of a sudden, amen, a nation began to march across. And the enemy looked and said, I surely got him now. But he was missing out that there was a God on their side that said, I'll place a fiery pillar that will separate them. All of a sudden, they began to try and march down upon the enemy. Amen. Tried marching down on the Israelites. And in the midst of the sea, God said, enough is enough. And closed the gap. I'm here to tell you, if you'll begin to wake up and realize that there is hope in the middle of your despondency. Pastor made reference to this scripture this morning, John 10:10. That the thief cometh, but not for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So anytime the enemy tries to tell you that you ain't got the goods, that you can't go nowhere, that you can't do anything for God, it's time to look up. Say, there's hope. Amen. We find that Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, amen, that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I've came to tell you tonight that there is hope. Amen, church, there is hope tonight in the middle of the graveyard. You say, that's impossible. I came to tell you tonight that there was a man on the side of the road. Amen. That was blind. Amen. And God, amen, incarnate in the flesh. He was walking the face of the earth. And Jesus Christ walked by him. Amen. And said, hey, boy, let me go ahead and give your eyesight back to you. He went and washed. He came back seeing. And there was another man that was lame. And Jesus healed him. There was a woman that had an issue of blood. No doubt the enemy of her soul told her, you've had this for way too long. You're dead. You're done. I'm here to tell you that there's hope in the middle of your graveyard, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. I'm here to tell you that God in heaven is looking down, letting you know there's hope. And if that wasn't enough, there was a time Jesus was on the road. You seen him out there? Here, come here, boys, four of you. Four of you, hurry, hurry. Come up here real quick. Run, run, run. Run, run, run. All right. All right, I need one more. Michael, come up here. I like using illustrations. All right, I want you guys to carry him. Two on each side. Grab him up. No. You got two on each side, buddy. All right, grab his shoulders. Grab his feet. All right, hold him up. All right, we're headed down to the cemetery. Come on, fellas. And all of a sudden, Jesus walked in the gate and said, hey, hold it. Hold up right here, boys. Where are you guys going? Oh, we're going over here to this hole. We got a fellow we got to bury. He said, dead? He's not dead. Here, come on up out of there, buddy. Hey, they said you were dead. Do you feel dead? No. Here, go back to Mama's house and tell her that you're okay. And Mama's there in the middle of the funeral procession, and she's thinking, what in the world's going on? I've just lost my only child. And there's somebody that's stopping the procession. I'm here to tell you that sometimes that we get that way with God. We've done decided that we've got the tombstone, the tomb already built. Amen. It's decorated. His name's already inscribed. And we're going to bury it. And God, there's nothing you can do to bring it back to life because it's too late. I'm here to tell you, when God, amen, makes up his mind that he's going to work, because his design is to bring life, not death. Amen. I find Jesus Christ, when he walked into that gate, the widow of Nain said, I lost everything. He said, no, ma'am, you have just been given everything back. Thank you, buddy. Amen. You've just had hope in the middle of the graveyard. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that your situation in your life, though it looks dead, there's still a heartbeat, baby. There's still hope. There's still joy in the midst of turmoil. We just got to wake up. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus had personal loss. He got news that his best friend had died. Man, I think it used to be Warren's favorite scripture. We'd ask him to say scripture in Rangers. He'd say, Jesus wept. That's what the scripture says. Jesus heard the news, even though he was the life giver. I don't think that he wept for Lazarus. He didn't weep for him, but he wept for Mary and Martha. There's people that come to this church, and they're in the middle of their graveyard. And they find themselves stuck in the graveyard. It's up to us as the church, willing to look into the graveyard and let them know that there is hope. How do you do that? This is something that is lacking in the church world today. I'm a little backer there. Amen. Keep it coming, Weston. What happens is people come up around the front, or sometimes even stay back in their pew. There's not a single person that can break from their tradition to go and pray for you. I don't know them that well. There was somebody that prayed for you that didn't know you. Well, we've got to begin to realize there's hope in the graveyard, and be able to look into a hopeless situation and be willing to step into the midst of their graveyard and say, listen, there is hope. There is the promise of a better tomorrow. Upon Jairus' daughter, Jesus was headed that way. When he first started out, she wasn't dead. She was just sick. Let me tell you something. You got to have a spiritual enough eyesight that you can see when someone is spiritually ill and try to get them to the Master before it's too late. Because that's what happened. He goes running to Jesus. I need you to come help me. Come help me. Come help me. On the way, a servant came running to him and said, bother the Master no more, for she is dead. What do I find? And Jesus said, let's keep on going, guys. You might say it's a lost cause, but I haven't seen it yet. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus walked in and he began to let them know that there was hope. Hallelujah. I tell you tonight, that there is hope. If we're willing to call on His name. But sometimes we don't. We just go and visit the old headstone. Hey, well, it's too late. You know, a lot of this is coming from personal experience. People told me my ministry is done. Jason, I believe that. I'm like, man, nothing. Even though the stuff they're spouting off is false, there's so many people that's been told that they all believe it. So what's the point in trying? But then I remember that it's not my ministry. I was called by Him, for Him, which means it's not my ministry they're attacking, but it's His. We've got to begin to realize in the middle of our graveyard, in the middle of our struggle, that there is hope. Because I am a child of the King. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. He is so faithful. Amen. He's looking, amen, for someone that's willing to stand up and acknowledge the hope that He has. Hallelujah. Psalm 71, verse 14 says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more." Get a hold of that. We ought to be able to just shout on that simple fact. Amen. It says, "But I will hope continually." How long's continual? Amen. It just keeps going. It's like eternity. It never stops. Amen. I'm here to tell you, it's on loop. It's not going to end. It's not going to come to a halt. Amen. I'll continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. I'm not going to stop. Amen. Just whenever I get through one trial and praise You, but I'll praise You even more when I'm struggling. I'll praise You even more when I'm on the mountaintop. Because there's hope in the middle of the graveyard. Psalms 146:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord." How many's alive tonight? Hallelujah. "I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth and returneth to his earth. And that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." Amen. "Whose hope is in the Lord, his God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all therein, and which is keepeth the truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners." Amen. Is that not something to be happy about, that the prisoners have been set free? "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. And he relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." Now look on that for a second. You know that old boy that's attacking you all the time? God's got him by the feet. Amen. Giving him a good shaking. Amen. Because I just came to tell you that there's some hope. "The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." Isn't he worthy of some praise? Would you lift our hands for just a minute? Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Romans 15 says, "Now the God of hope filleth you with all joy, peace, and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let's begin to grab a hold of that eternal hope. Amen. It's something that's outside of this world. That sweet Holy Ghost. Mr. Lindsay, if you come back to the piano, please. Hope. Hope in the middle of your situation. I have to remind myself, Jason, there is hope. Things that are going on in this world that I do not agree with. I do not see eye to eye. Some of you know exactly how I feel. I'm an American. Red-blooded. Through and through. And I still believe there's hope. There is hope. There's hope for my generation. There's hope right here in the middle of this graveyard that we like to visit. I'm here to tell you tonight at all the graveyards around the world, on that night, Jesus Christ was hanging there upon the cross. And he gave up the ghost. And the Holy Ghost came over to that curtain. He said, I've been cramped up. I've been kept up. I've been stuck here for far too long. God, can I go yet? Amen. Just put yourself, amen, in the Holy Ghost shoes here for a minute. He just got done watching Jesus Christ give everything. Your son, your only son, just died. And I'm still kept up in this little prison. Amen. God said it's time. Walk over to the veil and kick it on down and rip from the top to the bottom. He said, guess what? Oh, Holy Ghost, go down to that place. Go down to where my son is headed. Go down and strengthen him. Because when he comes out, he's coming out with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I'm here to tell you there's hope in the graveyard, because the Holy Ghost of God, amen, has begun to fill us and waiting on us to be called back home. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, I love this scripture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them and the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. There's hope in the graveyard, because I'm here to tell you, whenever the Holy Ghost came out, amen, the Spirit of God was let free, amen, from inside of that tabernacle. Amen. Whenever it made a symbol to the rest of the world, I am no longer bound to this place. He wasn't there because man put him there. He was there for an appointed time, just as we are right now, right tonight. Everyone's here that's supposed to be here. And there's a purpose and a reason. I want to tell you there's hope in the middle of your graveyard. Just go ahead and stand up with me tonight. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever Jesus himself gave up the ghost, there was a host. The earth began to shake. There was all kinds of voids in the ground. There was people seen that hadn't been seen in a long time. Could you imagine? God said, hey, they think they've done me in. And I can't do any more miracles because the priest, the Pharisees and Sadducees mocked him and said, you've saved others. Can't you save yourself? They there acknowledged him for who he was. And boom, the Holy Ghost was set free. And in Acts, we find they were all together in an upper room, in one mind, one accord. They made an acknowledgement together. and said, this cemetery that we've been in, that we've simply stood around and said, well, maybe he's coming, maybe he's not. I'm going to look at all this stuff. I'll begin to prophesy to it and say, the Lord, amen, is coming. The Lord is on my side. And we will begin to see. And all of a sudden, amen, there begin to be a shaking. There begin to be a wind. And there was a fire that fell from heaven. And it was the Holy Ghost, because there is hope. Altars are open, church. I hope I've encouraged you to look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Don't be afraid.